You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding here, looking ahead to the Leopardstown card on Sunday, 27th of December, if you had forgotten your days and dates, as I know many people have over this festive period. It always happens like that. But what I do know is we've got more top quality action to look forward to from Leopardstown. There's also a card at Limerick today that has passed an early morning inspection. So plenty for you to get your teeth stuck into if you like your Irish racing today. One man who does like his Irish racing is Andy Holding. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
Everything all right?
Everything's good, mate, yeah. I didn't get to see much of yesterday's action after all, but looking at some of the results, wasn't a particularly easy day, certainly over this side of the RSU, but the racing in Ireland went pretty smoothly, didn't it? Most of the big guns obliged and the form stood up, which was nice, and I think that's probably largely down to the fact that we've got some reasonably decent ground to run on in Leopardstown, as we talked about yesterday. It's not quite as bad, or certainly what yesterday was predicted, but they've had a bit more rain, and it is now heavy ground, isn't it, over in Leopardstown?
Mm. Yes, it is, on Sunday, so a little more testing, but as I said, top quality card, isn't it?
It's unbelievably good, Alex, yeah. I mean, obviously we've got Underscope making his seasonal reappearance in the Grade 1, but for me, the race of the day, one of the races of the season so far, if you're following your Irish novice hurdlers, is the Paddy Power Future Champions Novice at Grade 1 there, which is certainly befitting of that status, with all 11 runners having shown top-class form in some way, shape or form so far to date. And that race wouldn't be out of place at a championship level, i.e. a festival, towards the back end of the season. So I'm really looking forward to that.
OK, well, we'll get to that shortly, but we'll start with the 12.10, which is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Let's Dance heads affairs here, Andy, for Willie Mullins. And Ruby Walsh has been back this morning as though defeat is out of the question. Ivanovich Gorbatov looks like the main danger, making his hurdling debut for Aidan O'Brien. But we'll start with Let's Dance here. The way the betting's going, she's going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, in keeping with most Willie Mullins trained horses that are owned by Rich Ritchie, the market is very much telling us that they've really bought well in the close season. And that is often the good sign. Obviously, the scouts that do all the work for Rich Ritchie are making sure that they get the best possible horses in each individual department. And he hasn't had a really exciting three-year-old so far, i.e. Triumph Hurdle horse. But the chances are that this one, Let's Dance, might easily make up into a horse that could be contesting some of the better races in the spring. Interesting that she comes from Guillaume McCare, of course. That really is a good stamping ground, isn't it, for juvenile hurdlers. Many of the decent horses that end up in Britain usually come from Guillaume. And it's interesting that on the day when she finished second, Guillaume had the winner that day, a horse called Valet de Nil. She also was a filly as well, but they didn't choose her. They chose Let's Dance, so they've obviously done their homework and they've looked at the physique and the size of the horses and thought which one is going to make the most long-term progress. She's by Polyglot as well, which suggests that she's going to make the grade, as a lot of that size offspring do in this particular sphere. She's up against an interesting runner from the Aidan O'Brien stable, and of course, Aidan has probably got a little bit of help, of course, now from Joseph, who's more training the jumpers. Interesting that the tongue tie goes on for the first time. He didn't wear it on the flat, but he's wearing it today over hurdles. And he's certainly the one with the most ability that we've seen so far on the flat to date. He won at Navan in the maiden, beating Torsador as a very good horse, and then he won a handicap very easily at Leopardstown. The only problem we've got with this son of Montjoie is that all his best form so far today has been on a decent surface. So really, your guess is as good as mine, Willie, hand of the ground. Of the runs that have run, there's a couple that have shown a reasonable level of ability so far. Bold Bid Tocororo, and of course Logos de Vegas, but they shouldn't necessarily be troubling the front two if they are up to scratch, and judged by the betting, that is very much going to be the case. So it's an interesting opener. It's a difficult one to oppose, really, given the money, the weight of money in its direction. So Let's Dance, hopefully, should get the day off flying for Willie Mullins.
OK, next up is the 12:40, which is another maiden hurdle over 2 miles. But in this one, we've got Silver Concord heading affairs for Dermot Weld and Davy Russell. But some really nice types behind Silver Concord in the market. Super Sunday, who hasn't done a great wrong, a great deal wrong, in his career to date. We've got McBride and Captain Barbosa, the two JP McManus-owned runners. Fill Your Hands for Giggenstown as well. Everything else you'd imagine is going to be outclassed in this, but those first few at the head of affairs are classy performers, Andy.
Yeah, they are. Quite an interesting main hurdle here, no more so than trying to assess Silver Concord and where we stand with the seven-year-old at this point in time. Of course, Vigil was a big, big gamble yesterday, or a big fancy from this Dermot Weld stable that got turned over. So you'd probably just be a little bit reticent to go in at a very skinny price on this horse, of course, not knowing its well-being. Having not run since October. And more importantly as well, the ground, which is obviously going to arrive very testing here today, might just not necessarily be in this horse's favour either. Of course, he's a former winner of the Grade 1 at the Cheltenham Festival, the bumper there when he beat Shane Hill in 2014. And he did get beat when he was a short price favourite, actually, on, I think it was on his hurdling debut at this track. Last year, that was when the ground was on the heavy side. Obviously, he's been running well subsequently, but yeah, I'm just not too sure about him at the short price. I'm also not absolutely convinced with Super Sunday, and I was a big fan of this horse, but I must admit he's off my hot list and onto my cold list at the moment. I just think he's got a bit of a glass chin. He's a bit of a weak finisher. He's not quite seeing his races out as well as I thought he would be. So for that reason, I want to look elsewhere for this selection here. I want to go with the third favourite, McBride, who, of course, is trained by Aidan O'Brien, and he's had a run as well over hurdles of late. That was 50 days ago when he finished second behind a horse called Hunter's Call. Certainly nothing wrong with that form. The winner looks a decent prospect, and back in third was a horse called Powderhound, who also gives that form a reasonable solid look to it. He goes on the ground, he loves heavy ground, he's won on it before, he can be ridden prominently, and now he's had a couple of spins over hurdles as well. He's definitely getting more in tune with what this division, this kind of racing requires. Added to that, Captain Barbosa is in the lineup as well to make up a nice little team here for Aidan O'Brien. But with Barry Geraghty choosing McBride over Captain Barbosa, hopefully I think he's had the pick of the two, and I think his decision should be rewarded. So an each-way bet, round about the 5-1 mark with most firms this morning, McBride stands out there in the 12:40.
The 115 is a Grade 1 chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Six runners down to go to post for this one, Andy, and a very short price favourite in Un De Sceaux, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, of course, making his seasonal reappearance, but we know exactly what he's capable of, and although he is up against some nice types, they're not horses that you'd expect to beat him. Clarkham, who has been okay this season, but that's just about all, following a win at Aintree at the back end of last year. Size and Granite continually going the right way, but again, you'd expect just not quite to have enough class here. Simply Ned, another horse that is running okay, but you need to be more than okay to beat Un De Sceaux, don't you?
You do, yeah. Three times Grade 1 winner last season, carried all before him in the novice chase department, winner of the Arkle, winner of the Grade 1 at Punchestown, and on every occasion he raced with such verve and enthusiasm. He certainly had a real slick jumping style as well, that we're really looking forward to see what he can do this season. Of course, this division has been, let's say, given a little bit of a lease of life with one or two horses making their comebacks and getting back on the winning track, such as Sir De Gruzy. So it'd be interesting to see where we stand in another 3 months' time when they are presumably all line up in the champion chase. And this is very much the first run on the ladder for William Mullins' charge, to see whether they've obviously whether they can sort of get there unscathed. Other than his fall, first time at last year over fences, he's unbeaten in every single race, and it's hard to see him getting beaten here, even though he hasn't had a run for 241 days. If there is going to be a shock, Then maybe Sizing Granite is the only one capable, really, of putting it up to him here. I know Hidden Cyclone's useful, but he's very unreliable nowadays in the jumping department. Whereas Sizing Granite seems a more straightforward horse. He's just had the one run this season. Quite surprisingly, he got beat at Nace first time up by Devil's Bride. But to be fair, Devil's Bride was rock hard fit after running quite well numerously in the summer jumping period. So it was probably just fitness that did him that day. He beat Dicios on his only start here at Leopardstown in a decent chase last year. And, of course, Dicios won the big handicap here yesterday. So, all in all, Sizing Granite could offer up a little bit of value against the favourite here if you didn't want to go in at a short price. So we'd expect Undersco to win this race, as the market price suggests. But for those searching for a little bit more value than what we're going to get on offer at around about 3-1 on, something in around the 5-2 mark for Sizing Granite to chase in hand would be the bet.
OK, next up is the 145. It is the Future Champions Novice Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles. We touched on this race earlier, Andy, and just how good it is. Long Dog heads affairs as we record, but is on the drift. Tombstone, on the other hand, has been well-backed and is now pushing Long Dog for favouritism. By no means a two-horse race, though. Plenty of other credible dangers in there, the likes of Bacchuson, who on jockey bookings would be the Willie Mullins second string, but that's no bad thing, really. Woodland Opera, who is still unbeaten. Falcon Crest going the right way. Petit Mouchoir is a nice type, so those 3 stars. There are no bad horses in this lineup, Andy, but what's going to win it?
Yeah, the fact that William Mullins has got 4 horses in it suggests that he means business here. And we've got Gordon Elliott's best novice hurdler so far to date, certainly visually, Tombstone. We've got Jessica Harrington's Woodland Opera, whose form was boosted yesterday by Coney Island. And he took into the likes the improving and progressive Falcon Crest, along with 3 stars, and the likes of Ballycloud and Tully East. And this is an absolute smoking hot race. I can't wait to see this one, really. And I think a lot of the bookmakers will be interested in how this race develops, because a lot of their anti-post markets are going to have a massive effect after we've run this race. So far to date, Long Dog deserves to be favourite in what he's done. Of course, he won the Royal Bond last time out, beating Stabber Companion, Bacchuson in a bit of a rousing finish. And given that he's also got 4 months after heavier ground than what he encounters, or when he encountered that day, because he won at Listowel on heavy ground, he'd probably be the pick of the two for me out of that class, because I do think Bacchuson is actually going to be a better horse as the weather dries out towards the back end of the season. He's very much a good ground horse for me, so whatever he's doing at the moment is an absolute bonus. The other horse from the stable, though, I do think he's certainly worth it more than a second look here, Petit Mouchoir. He won very impressively last time out at Thurles. And he's just the kind of horse that could have slipped under the radar here a little bit unnoticed. But I don't think you should write him off in any way, shape or form, because the form of his Thurles win has been boosted by the third horse, Moon Over Germany, who lowered the colours of a very highly regarded horse called Bull Dark at Navan the other day. And the fourth horse also won as well, the Brock Inn. So around about 10 or 12 to 1, I think he's worth a second look. But my main choice would be Woodland Opera here. I've been waiting for this horse to run in better grade ever since he won first time up at Navan. The time figure of the race suggests he's above average, and as we saw yesterday, Coney Island could not have advertised the form in any better form by winning so easily in that first race. Back in third was Potter's Point, who the William Mullins camp thought was a good thing that day. And like I say, the time figure was certainly up to the standard expected of a graded race. So with the Jessica Harrington team remaining in good form, I'll take Woodland Opera to cause a little bit of a shock here, but certainly wouldn't go without mentioning that Petit Mouchoir as a price as well.
Okay, some lovely types on the way to post for that one, but no, should be a very, very good race. The 220 is race 5 on the Leopardstown card, and it's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Copy that, heads affairs, as we speak. It's been nibbled at as well this morning for the Hearty Yards. Jack Kennedy takes the ride on this. One of 3 for JP McManus in the race. Some interesting types. Gladiator King, who you'd certainly respect if there was money for, being from the Tony Martin Yard. And Snake Eyes, who remains fairly unexposed, but would need to show a little more than he has done in recent starts. But plenty of other consistent types that you couldn't rule out in this race. That said, we will start with the market leader, Andy. Copy that. Another unexposed type, just a 4-year-old. Hasn't done a great deal wrong in his career to date.
No, he's a lovely horse, his copy that. Typical of his trainer, Edward Hart. He's progressing with every run. And it's just whether he handled the ground or not. His only time he encountered ground as heavy as this, he ran quite well at Listowel when he finished fourth behind Golden Spear. But he looks a horse who just wants to just get his toe in, but without going in too deep. And being by Milan, that would very much offset back up that particular viewpoint. There's no denying for me that he's well handicapped here for mark 115 with Jack Kennedy on board off 110. If he does handle the ground, I think the others need to run for cover. Of the rest, the two informed horses who will handle the ground for me would be Mrs. McVeigh and Ancient Sands. And I think if you back pads to these two each way with quarter of the odds, around about 12-1, I think one of them is going to surely finish in the first three here, given their well-being. Ancient Sands has largely been in good form throughout his last three or four runs on the flat and, of course, over hurdles. And he won last time out at Navan on testing conditions. He travels well in his races, and he's got some good form on the flat here as well, here at Leopardstown. So he's definitely worth a look. And Mrs. McVeigh certainly got to be commended for all her good work of late. She finished second to Vroom Vroom Mag the other day, and because she's got a run under her belt recently, I certainly don't think you should overlook her here just because this is a little bit more competitive numerically. So my two each way picks against the field would be Mrs. McVeigh at 12-1, and the same price available for Ancient Sands.
Okay, Mrs. McVeigh and Ancient Sands each way against the field in the 220. Next up is the 255. It's the Paddy Power Chase, a Grade B handicap over the extended 3 mile trip. We mentioned that in previous races, JP Manus had a strong hand, Andy. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 runners, including one reserve in this. I think he's running out of colours for caps, to be honest with you. I've never seen a race that he's dominated quite so much. But that said, he still isn't guaranteed the winner of this. He does have a few well-fancied ones. And as we speak, Gil Gamboa and Manella For You are joint favourites at around about the 9-1 mark. But it's one of those races where you wouldn't be surprised if anything popped up, Andy. It looks a bit of equine bingo, this.
Yeah, it's a tough race, this one, just to say the very least. I mean, the fact that JP Manus has got 9 in it, he's thrown more mud at the board than everyone here. He's got the favourite, Gil Gamboa, carrying top weight. Be interested to see how he gets on over 3 miles for the first time. He's certainly a very classy and consistent performer over shorter trips. And we know he's up to certainly grade one standard because he won at Fairyhouse last year. He had a nice run the other day behind Jack Adam in the John Durkin, which should have blown away under cobwebs. And it's interesting, there's been plenty of money for him as well. It's just, like I say, whether he gets a chip. Now, my long-term Grand National horse runs here, Gallant Oscar. Whether he'll be winning first time off the shelf here is obviously open to question. He does go well fresh, but the market vibes this morning suggest that he might just be needing this run. He's out for a ball of chalk this morning, considering he was one of the anti-post market leaders for this race. But whatever happens for him today, do keep Gallant Oscar on your side. He stays really, really well, and I can't wait for him to sort of go along the path towards the Grand National next season if connections see fit of going down that particular route. Hopefully they will. But my choice here today is one of the lower weighted horses in the race, a horse called Ross Voss. There's a little bit of an unheralded horse here, but he certainly comes off the back of two very eye-catching performances. The latest one at Navan over hurdle was quite bewildering, to say the very least, because he won by 18 lengths, no fewer than, and the handicapper saw fit to raise him £17 for that demolition job of a really good field. Now, interestingly, look at the speed figure he recorded that day. It's certainly in keeping with Bell's Hill, who took the grade one on the same card. Now, the last circuit as well was also run 20 lengths quicker by Ross Voss than Willie Mullins' charge that day. So it was obviously operating at a very high level. Prior to that, he'd been drum nayer at Punchestown over fences, so we know he's got form over the larger obstacles as well. He's got plenty of form here at Leopardstown in the past. It's just whether the combination that were on that day, the tongue tie and the blinkers, work again for Ted Walsh's charge. On top of that, we know that the yard's in great form because even Seabass, the old warrior, managed to win at Thurles the other day. So some by shape or form, Ted Walsh has got his horses in the very, very best of form. And with daughter Katie on, of course, who's certainly not frightened of riding a big winner over fences in the shape of Thunder and Roses last year in the Irish National, this combination make plenty of appeal at their morning price. So Ross Voss, he's in great form at the moment, and hopefully can continue the good work and run a big race in the Paddy Power Chase today.
Okay, Ross Voss in the very, very competitive 255 there. And the final race that we're going to look at is the 330. It's a bumper over 2.5 miles. And another potential Willie Mullins superstar here in Tarrar, who heads affairs as we speak, but there has been a little bit of money around this morning for A Genie in a Bottle for similarly respected connections, Noel Mead Trains and Nina Carberry Rides. The market has it just between those two. Hold Your Nerve has drifted this morning, still third favourite, but drifting as though today might not be his day. Hard to get away from the favourite here, Andy?
Yeah, very much so. I think whatever happens today with Willie Mullins in all the other races, he will go off with a winner in the shape of Tarare, who finished second on his Rules debut, rather surprisingly for many, because he was backed as if defeat was out of the question. But he did bump into a very useful type in the shape of De Plotting Shed. Now, I know that De Plotting Shed was a bit of a disappointment the other day at Ascot, but I think that Gordon Elliott's charge will prove further down the line he's much better than what he showed at the Berkshire venue. He was just a bit keen that day and he pulled quite hard and therefore he didn't quite get home and see out the trip as well as expected. But he was hugely impressive when he beat Willie Mullins' Tarare in that race at Fairy Hass the time before. And the speed figure of that race certainly holds up against quite a few decent bumpers I've had in recent years. It was one of the most strongly run ones I've got on the clock. And because that figure was so good, he's absolutely miles clear on the numbers over the rest of the field, certainly the ones that have had a run. Obviously, we've got to take on board that a genie in the bottle could be useful, being as he's a former point-to-point winner, and he comes from a decent stock as well in the shape of Noel Mead and Gingstown Stud. But with a run under his belt and a win under point-to-point himself on soft ground over 3 miles, Tarare certainly stands out here. And I think he's a very worthy favourite. And even the 10-11 with William Hill, I think he's going to be under threat.
Okay, very interesting. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with your picks at Leopardstown today. You're in the studio tomorrow, so people will get a chance to listen to you live there. You're with Gary Capewell and Kevin O'Malley for all of Monday's racing. But pleasure talking to you once again. Enjoy today's racing, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.